Welcome to the Broadway Radio Show. I'm Donald Feltham, and I have one of my very favorite people joining me for this episode. Celia Burke is here. Hi, Celia.
Hi. Thank you very much.
Celia, who I just saw on my recent trip to New York in May, has got some kind of a really fun, interesting project that she's working on. Fun with a question mark, because I know it's been probably a little bit more than she expected when she committed to tackling this project. But Celia, you may know from her three wonderful albums, You Can't Rush Spring, Manhattan Serenade, and Now That I Have Everything. And also from her many cabaret and nightclub appearances around New York and elsewhere. But she has a new project she's been working on called Four Seasons of Song, which are basically EPs, one for each season, one that's being released every season. She has so far released Spring and just recently released Summer. Spring came out at the end of February, and on June 20th, she released the Summer release, which there are kind of four songs on each EP, kind of each related to each season. And it's an interesting project because we obviously are going to have fall and winter coming. And I made Celia promise that she would come back when fall and winter have both been released, so we can kind of circle back and get the whole year. But talk about how this project came about and where this all started.
Yeah, there were two prompts for it. One was, as I finished Now That I Have Everything, it was such a big, heavy lift to do an album, especially if you're an independent musician, which I am. So I release my own music on my label, Gramercy Nightingale Music. And you get to the end of 2 years, and it's taken you 2 years, and it's 2 years worth of planning and recording and a million details, and you're just exhausted, and then it's done. And so if you set out to do another one, it's kind of hard to imagine it, even under the best of circumstances, taking less than a year. It shouldn't take less than a year to do, frankly. And it frequently takes a vocalist 2 years or more to do another one. So the first thing was just, boy, that was a lot of work. And now to do it again, there's sort of a void of, in terms of new things coming out, unless I'd like to drop singles, which I also do periodically.
Right.
So that was the first prompt. And the second prompt was that I had been introduced to a new potential collaborator, Balint Varga, who my longtime record producer, Scott Lehrer, had spotted as the music director on the stage of 54 Below about almost exactly a year ago. Scott knows I'm always looking for new collaborators to work with, not because I'm unhappy with the ones that I'm working with, but I always want to mix it up. And he said, I just saw someone who has impeccable taste and musicality, and there's just something about the way he carries himself that makes me think like you two could be a fit. So I found him, and we sat down over a cup of coffee and thought it was worth exploring what we could do together. And I said, well, gee, I don't know where to start, but I do have one idea, which is to do a series of rolling EPs, as opposed to biting off a whole big long album of 12, 13, 14 tracks. And I said, and one of the many list that I keep and add to periodically is songs about the four seasons. So I could see that lending itself to this idea of one EP for every season. And he said, I really like that. And I always pay attention to whether my stomach clenches or I feel a surge of energy. And as we talked about it, you know, I felt like, oh, I have five new ideas as we're talking. And he instinctively said I could see how we could each give each season a distinctive sound as well. And from that point on, we were off and doing it. And we just dove in. We agreed to start with Spring. We kind of did the math of what realistically could be the first season that we would be ready to drop. But as I tell everybody, it's four seasons of songs, colon, what was I thinking?
Yes. Well, I mean, one of the things I love about you and your albums is that you are sort of the master of finding hidden gems of right. songs to record. And I can only imagine what it was like. As you said, you probably had already started a list of songs about different seasons that you'd been collecting over the years anyway. But then now that you now have this project to cover all four seasons, what was the process like for you to find each song, to find the songs for each of the seasons, for spring and summer specifically, because that's the two EPs we're going to talk about first. But
yeah,
what was your process?
Well, if you ask Balint, he would say that he walked in and there were thousands of songs.
Yes.
And that I didn't know whether to organize them by season, and some of them bridge seasons, or whether it should be alphabetically so we could find them. I mean, he's very funny about what he walked into my living room and saw. And it was not an easy process to find the first songs starting with spring, because we didn't know what we were looking for, and we had so much, and we didn't know how many songs we wanted to put in an EP. In retrospect, what we did was find three that were a little short story or has a little narrative that you could imagine connecting them, and one that would bridge to the next season. Uh-huh. And we did that kind of instinctively, but it was a really long process. Also, we had no history with each other, and we made an agreement right away that we both had to feel energized by the song before we would do it. It wasn't going to work if one strong-armed the other, or right. not that we would have. It just turns out not to be our style with each other. But you're going to live with these things deeply. It's like a new relationship when you pick up a new song. So spring took a long time. And then we went back and forth on orchestration, and we agreed on violin, viola, cello, and electric guitar, not the usual, and with an intention that we might then pull a subset of those for the other seasons, which has ended up being true. Summer has acoustic guitar, electric guitar, and ukulele, all one musician overdubbing himself. And we've actually just started recording Autumn, and it's violin, viola, and cello. But back to your original question, when we got to the summer songs, we went much faster into the selection because we didn't want to duplicate the kinds of songs we had picked for spring. And we had a premise for what the season was going to feel like and what we wanted to convey. And so that would eliminate certain songs. And then we had the one song that would serve as the pivot, in this case, the Sondheim. And then Autumn, we really did not have any trouble at all in picking the four songs. And again, we have, I suspect, I know which one will end up being the pivot in terms of the sequence. But we're already thinking about winter, so we'll get there.
As I was kind of thinking of as I was putting together my notes, I was thinking, narrowing down, I mean, because I know you, I know how many songs you have, and I know how many
it wasn't thousands, but
no, but right, I know maybe you have a lot of, right. But there has to be some difficulty of winnowing it down, because with an EP, you're dealing with, in this case, four songs, although for spring, let's talk about spring, because with spring, it's technically, it's four tracks, but it's five songs, because you have like a medley of two songs.
I have a medley together, in there, right.
Two songs. But in any case, it's not like an album where you have anywhere from 10 to 14 songs, so you have a lot of space to make choices. Here, it's difficult because you only really have four slots, and you've got to find the four songs that are going to work, that are going to convey the tone, the message, and yet all fit together to convey that. And that makes it a little trickier because you really only have four spots. So you've got to pick the right four. Did you find that pressure at all?
I guess you could look at it that way.
I did. I mean, I looked at it and I went,
No, you did. But alternatively, there's something about saying we only have four songs. We only have four slots.
Right.
We've agreed that it's going to have this feel to it.
Right.
And there's something... And we got to get it out because you got to work back from your release date because
right.
we got to move on to the next one. We've got to keep going. There's something about that urgency that sharpens the mind forces you to make a decision and then forces you to dive into the music. I can't just wallow in
right.
something. I got to figure out what the song is about and what is the version that only I could do because we got to keep going.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sort of like when you have an opening night of a show of some
right.
kind, you got to make up your mind.
Right.
And I find that part of it unexpected. Unexpectedly, a very healthy experience for me
mm-hmm.
to keep going in
mm-hmm.
that way.
Mm-hmm.
So we definitely have a momentum and we definitely are able to say, no, we've already said something like that in one of the other seasons, or this is the umbrella for the season and this doesn't fit no matter how great a song it is. But there's also just something about the imperative of we got to drop this song, this mm-hmm. EP on the first day of summer, and we have to start recording Autumn now
mm-hmm. To get it done on time.
Focuses
yeah,
this is the mind. Yeah, so it's been really interesting and more than a little maddening. So.
Yes, I remember you mentioning that to me when we had talked about this earlier. You had said, you know, I was thinking that this was going to be, you know, much less complicated than doing an album, and it's turned out to be a totally different creature and a difficult creature.
Yeah. When I was young, I lived in a world of dreams, of moods and myths and illusionary schemes. Though now I'm much more grown up, I feel that I must own up to the fact that I'm in doubt of what the modern cynics shout of. They say it's spring, this feeling light as a feather. They say this thing, this magic we shared together, came with the weather too. They say it's May, that's made me daft as a daisy. It's May, they say, that gave this whole world this crazy, heavenly, hazy hue. I'm a lark on the wing, on the spark of a firefly's fling. Yet to me, this must be something more than a seasonal thing. Could it be spring? Those bells that I can hear ringing, it may be spring, but when the robin stops singing, you're what I'm clinging to. Though they say it's spring, it's you. La 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 la
poets sing, that when a heart's sympathetic, it's merely spring. Then poets' plights are pathetic, though I'm poetic too. They say it's spring. For lovers, there's where the lure is, that aching thing. For which September the cure is, this they are sure is true. Though I know that it's so, that my fancy may turn in the spring. With the right one inside, one can find a perpetual thing. Did I need spring to bring the ring that you bought me? Though it was spring, that wondrous day that you caught me, darling, I thought we knew that it was in spring. Twas you. You. La 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 la. La 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 la. They say it's spring. They say it's spring.
One of the things that's interesting also is, and I think you already mentioned this, is that the tone and feel is different for each one, obviously, because they're different seasons. So the arrangements and orchestrations are different. The instruments being used are different.
We have yet to duplicate musicians either.
So, and I guess the message of the songs you're picking are different, because the themes are different. So talk about spring. What is the message or the tone that you're getting across with the spring EP?
What Balance called it was French Riviera jazz.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't disagree. He's also called it chanson. And I like that as well. I definitely hear that there's a little chamber music-y element to what he's created in these arrangements.
Mm-hmm. And what can people be surprised about in terms of the songs you picked? I mean, I would say, as you said in your notes, Spring Can Really Hang You Up the Most is probably the most familiar song of the four in the spring. But the other ones, I did not myself know any of the other songs.
Oh, really?
No. I mean, I really was not that familiar with them. I would think I would have known some of them, especially Spring Isn't Everything, because
Harry Warren.
Yeah, Harry Warren and Ralph Blaine are very well-known songwriters.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's just amazing that you find these things. You dig deep, I'll tell you.
You know, I call myself a musical truffle hound. I am forever, like my little radar is up and circling at all times. And The Spring Isn't Everything is just a lovely, lovely song, and is the pivot not only into summer, but into the rest of the seasons. It's if you like spring, there's more.
Right.
There's three more seasons to come. And when I really dug into it, and I had this very old Harry Warren songbook that I bought on Amazon, that it was a used book, and somebody inside had a million little clippings and things, but it's very obscure. And part of it was an interview. Was it Bing Crosby who did the interview with him?
I think I saw that in your notes.
Crosby who had asked, and it, in the front of the songbook was an introduction from Bing Crosby, and he'd asked Harry Warren what was his musical inspiration, and that Harry Warren had said Puccini. Mm-hmm. And then I found out after we finished recording, and I went back to Balint and I said, hey, remember that thing about chanson? He thinks he's writing arias with his songs. That's really interesting to me. And it's one of Harry Warren's favorite songs. And it's, you know, buried in a Walter Huston movie.
Right.
So, and I love things that are buried in that way.
Spring isn't everything, it's true. There's a lot to be said for summer. Summer has beauty too. With the world full out of its shell, you'll be caught in its sunny spell. Oh, spring isn't everything. Spring isn't everything, it's true. There's a lot to be said for autumn. Autumn has beauty too. Though the breeze may chill with its blow, you'll be caught in its golden glow. Oh, spring isn't everything. There's a lot to be said when winter brings the snow to hide the heather. Don't worry your head with what winter brings. It's only the weather. Spring isn't everything, it's true. Though a lot can be said when summer, autumn, and winter sing. If you're together, life is a golden ring. Oh, spring isn't everything. To be said when winter brings snow to hide the heather. Don't worry your head with what winter brings. It's only the weather. Spring isn't everything, it's true. Though a lot can be said when summer and autumn and winter sing. If you're together, life is a golden ring. Oh, spring isn't everything.
So talk about the idea of how the CDs are, the EPs are going to blend together, because they are all a unique listening experience. Because that's one of the things I have loved so far about Spring and Summer, is that even though they're being released to coincide with each season, you can sit down and listen to them back to back because there's a flow to them.
Right.
Which is, as you said, there's a pivot number at the end. Because I listened to Spring when you originally sent it at the end of February. I listened to it. And then when you sent me the tracks for Summer, I listened to that. And then in prepping for the show, for this interview today, I went and listened to them all together, back to back.
Right.
And it all flows just so beautifully. So talk about mentally prepping for that concept of how did you do that? Because it's sort of like they're kind of four separate projects, but at the same time, there's a bigger picture.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, not to be grandiose. I mean, that's what Vivaldi did with the Four Seasons.
Right.
Right. Each one had a different vibe and a different orchestration to it. And every musician who's come in has said something during the session about the Vivaldi's Four Seasons, and there's a recognition. So I think the through line is balance, arrangements, and orchestrations for sure. Mm-hmm. And the most overt through line is my voice. It's I think it's the same person experiencing a different season of their life. So obviously they're premised around either literally the season or the season as a metaphor in some way. But it's somebody going through a cycle emotionally, I think. I think that's what you'll find as you put them all together. And as we started to work on Autumn, I think that's right. I think it's holding true.
Right.
And we both in our mind's eye and in our ear imagine them all coming together at the end.
But it's also important that you are working with the same collaborators on it.
Correct.
You're working with Ballant and Scott Lehrer on the project.
Correct.
So you have the same people all involved in the creative decisions on it. And that you can tell that. I mean, it makes a difference.
We have a shared sensibility.
Exactly. And that comes through in the music and the choices of how the arrangements are made. Even though it's, as you said, even though the instrumentations are different, although there are carried over instruments, you said, from...
Right.
It still all feels of the whole for some reason. But
I'm glad.
But when you listen to it, you can feel the shifting of the climate, the temperature.
Yes.
Which is really nice. I mean, it feels like when you listen to Spring, it should feel like spring. And it does. And then you get to the Summer, and the Summer, which we should talk about now, when you get to the Summer EP, it becomes warmer and more playful.
Yes.
And so talk about what the feeling and the message and the tone for Summer was meant to be.
Yes. So in that case, Ballant's little headline was what he calls unplugged beach summer jazz. You know, he's Hungarian. So I love seeing how he's going to express something in English to me. But unplugged beach summer jazz, it's laid back. It's playful. A lot of it is whimsical. Anytime you put in a ukulele in, you know you're going to have a tremendous amount of fun. And then you hit Sondheim at the end. And that is foreshadowing,
those
fun days. Yeah.
Well,
it's going to catch up with you.
Well, the chill of autumn is coming.
Yeah. Right.
Basically, which is perfect because you end with the Girls of Summer, which is a Sondheim song. And it's kind of the perfect transition for the end of summer and the beginning of the fall to come in. But before that, you've got very playful, fun songs, including a wonderful trio.
Yes. The girls are back.
The girls are back.
The Gramercy Nightingales.
The Gramercy Nightingales, if you want to explain who the trio is.
Yeah. It's me.
It's you, yes.
And it's... doing three-part harmony, and so I call myself Wren, Robin, and Lark, the Gramercy Nightingales, named after my music label, Gramercy Nightingale Music. We first appeared on my second album, Manhattan Serenade, doing backup, really, to me doing the lead vocals, and then there were backup singers. But this time, it's really a trio. In the style of the Boswell sisters. So it's not backup singers at all.
No.
So it really was learning three different parts, because this is the harmony for the line that somebody, it took me a long time to learn it.
Yeah. And yes, because I listened to it and I went, okay, I have not heard Celia do this before. Right. And I can only imagine what an interesting proposition this was for her to undertake this part. Was it your idea or was it Balance idea or?
It was my idea to bring the Gramercy Nightingales back.
Uh-huh.
And it was then my realization that they had originally sung backup, because we were sitting here and I pulled up Manhattan Madness, Irving Berlin's Manhattan Madness. And I thought we sang three-part harmony. That's the way I remembered it. And I went, oh, wow, they're really singing backup to me. So I said, you know, I don't think I want this to be backup. I'd like it to be a true trio. And you can ask Balin to do anything and he will go away and figure it out.
Uh-huh.
But he had very specific requests of me, because like the Boswell sisters, he wanted me to sound like various instruments, you know, the wah-wah sound and, uh-huh. and all of that. So everything had to go to my voice teacher, and she had to give me first vocal exercises to figure out how to use my voice in that way, because I had just, to your point, had never done it. That's why mm-hmm. when you say I've never heard that, it's because I never did it. So she had to figure out how to help me wrap my mind and my chords around creating that sound and then bring it all together.
Mm-hmm.
It went on for months, really months.
But it's a challenge, a fun challenge.
Oh, I love, yeah. Yeah,
yeah, I mean, it's a fun
nobody's
challenge.
Nobody's making me, nobody's holding a gun to my head. Nobody's making me, and in for a penny, in for a pound. And I love the creativity of it.
Right.
And then fortunately, you know, you have wonderful engineers. In this mm-hmm. case, Alex Wenger was doing the mixing for us and helped us with the recording as well. And then Oscar Zambrano, who does many, many cast albums and other very important recordings, did the mastering. And you need all hands to get that right. You mm-hmm. really, really do. And to mm-hmm. get them in balance.
If I had to choose just one day, if I had to choose just one day to last my whole life through, it would surely be that Sunday, the day that I met you. Newborn whippoorwills were calling from the hills. Summer was a-coming in, but fast. Lots of daffodils were showing off their skills. Nodding all together, we could almost hear them whisper, go on, kiss her. Go on and kiss her. If I had to choose one moment to live within my heart, it would be that tender moment, recalling how we started. Darling, it would be when you smiled at me that way, that Sunday, that summer. If I had to choose just one day to last my whole life through, it would surely be that Sunday, the day that I met you. horn whippoorwills were calling from the hills. Summer was a-coming in, but fast. Lots of daffodils were showing off their skills. Nodding all together, we could almost hear them whisper, go on, kiss her, go on and kiss her. If I had to choose one moment to live within my heart, it would be that tender moment. Recalling how we started, darling, it would be when you smiled at me that way, that Sunday.
It's a kind of the perfect song. It's a perfect track for this EP because the whole, I mean, this, the summer EP is just fun.
It's fun.
And charming, yeah. And light. And it feels like a perfect summer EP because the songs are irreverent and silly and fun. And the vocals are great. The arrangements are so, I mean, they're just so out of the box for a Celia Burke album, which is what I loved, because it's sort of like
she has
a whole different side to you, which is great.
Yeah.
Which is what I like about what I've heard so far with Spring and Summer, is it feels like a totally different side for you, because we're getting, I really like the collaboration you're getting with Ballant, because he's bringing out a lot of different facets of you that I haven't necessarily heard on your other albums. And I love your albums, but this is like really showing off a lot of different sides to you.
I'm not even sure I know what it is. I absolutely believe you, but I can tell you, because Scott Lehrer didn't do the mixing, he heard the final mixes before they went to mastering. And when he heard The Girls of Summer, for example, he said, wow, that's something different. I haven't heard you do that before. I can't tell you what it was that he hasn't heard.
Mm-hmm.
Just like you heard something, you'll have to tell me.
Mm-hmm.
But that's why I like to use different collaborators, because new collaborators don't come with a preconceived notion,
yes,
of what you can and cannot do, and
exactly,
vice versa. You can turn to an arranger and go, I'd like to do three-part harmony, as mm-hmm. we're looking at the stack of music for summer, and not know where it's going to end. And
right.
And we got to that Sunday, that summer, and he goes, oh, that's your three-part harmony song.
Yeah.
I wouldn't necessarily I've heard that, but when you don't have limitations on each other that come, you know, there's something wonderful about long-term relationships, and I wouldn't discount it at all, but there's something very liberating about having no preconceived notions about
exactly
what the other one can do. So I think he's just thrown me a lot of stuff where I go, okay, no mm-hmm. idea how to do that. Have mm-hmm. to go off to my voice teacher, mm-hmm. and she's going to have to pull it apart with me.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I also want you to tell the story about how knee deep ended up on this EP. That's a very funny story.
It's the gift that keeps on giving. And I have to say, I found They Say It's Spring on Instagram because somebody had posted a picture and then had a clip of Blossom Deary singing They Say It's Spring. And I went, that's a keeper. That goes on my spring short list. Mm-hmm. So same thing happened. I went on Instagram one day and my niece was posting pictures of my grandnephew at the beach. And with it was this Zac Brown Band song, Knee Deep. And I went, well, I don't know what that is, but that is a really fun song. And it's like country rock pop. In a million years, you would not think I would do that. But I thought, there's a really good song in there. I'm going to put mm-hmm. that on. So then we picked it. And then I was tooling around in the car one day with my niece and the baby. And I went, oh, I forgot to tell you, we're recording Knee Deep. And she said, that's his favorite song. And she puts on the Zac Brown version. And this little toddler with his little teeth, there's just this toothy smile of joy as soon as he hears the song. And I went, interesting. Mm-hmm. So when I got the first mixes, I sent it to her with my vocals and without, because I was using also a version to get ready for the final vocals. And he started to wave away the Zac Brown version. He would just go, no, 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 no. And he would hear guitar, which I don't think is what you hear, not forward anyway, on the Zac Brown version. And he became obsessed with this version of this song and started doing air guitar, this little two-year-old. But he just would go, knee deep, please, knee deep, please. So it's her go-to anytime he's having a meltdown. So I finally got him a one-string guitar, and he calls for it as he's listening to the song. I think he thinks he's playing the guitar the way it sounds on the recording, and I'm not going to tell him that's not the sound. We have a lyric video, which has this really cute little airplane that goes by. So now he doesn't want to hear the vocal track anymore. He wants to see the video because it's knee-deep airplane. So Ballant has said we really should pitch the song to children's playlists, not just adults. There's something in the sound that is resonating with a two-year-old.
Yeah, it's probably, I think it's the rhythms of the song and the rhymes, maybe. I mean, because I think there's something about that kind of stuff that really appeals to children that age that they pick up on. It's rhyme schemes and rhythms, I think, that they really click into. And you can hear it when you hear the song. Absolutely, you can hear it when you hear the song.
Totally. And my niece sent me a video the other night of him watching the lyric video. And, you know, you can catch certain words. He's singing the whole thing. Mm-hmm. But he gets to the champagne shore washing over me. And you can hear champagne clear as a bell. What he thinks he's singing, I have no idea, but it's just pure joy, the song. Mm-hmm. And everybody who I've played it for says, oh my gosh, I love Zac Brown. That's one of my favorite songs. I did not know who he was. And then they go, we love how you voiced it. That's so original. But I suspect that if I didn't know it, I don't think Ballant did either. So we just didn't feel constrained in any way. And I don't think he distorted it at all, although ours is slower. Mm-hmm. And just simple, just laid back, you know?
Yeah. You should pitch it. You should pitch it to, I mean, because there is, I mean, there are, especially on like Sirius XM, there's some children's radio channels, music channels. You should absolutely pitch it because I'm sure they'll pick it up.
I think so. Wouldn't that be funny? I was thinking the other day, oh God, I hope this isn't my version of Sammy Davis Jr. in Candyman. You know, he goes through this whole career, and then the thing that's the breakout recording
is got him a number one record, you know?
Yeah, that was his number one record was Candyman. He was furious. I would not be furious.
No.
gonna put the world away for a minute. Pretend I don't live in it. Sunshine gonna wash my blues away. Had sweet love, but I lost it. You got too close, so I fought it. Now I'm lost in the world, trying to find me a better way. Wishing I was knee deep in the water somewhere. Got the blue sky breeze and it don't seem fair. Only worry in the world, is the tide gonna reach my chair? Sunrise, there's a fire in the sky. Never been so happy, never felt so high. And I think I might have found me my own kind of paradise. Set me back in a minute. Bought a boat and I sailed off in it. Don't think anybody's gonna miss me anyway. Mind on a permanent vacation. The ocean is my only medication. Wishing my condition ain't ever gonna go away. 'Cause now I'm knee deep in the water somewhere. Got the blue sky breeze blowing wind through my hair. Only worry in the world, is the tide gonna reach my chair? Sunrise, there's a fire in the sky. Never been so happy, never felt so high. And I think I might have found me my own kind of paradise. The champagne's sure watching over me. It's a sweet, sweet life, living by the salty sea. One day you could be as lost as me. Change your geography. Maybe you might be knee deep in the water somewhere. Got the blue sky breeze blowing wind through my hair. Only worry in the world, is the tide gonna reach my chair? Sunrise, there's a fire in the sky. Never been so happy, never felt so high. And I think I might have found me my own kind of paradise. Come on in, the water's nice. Find yourself a little slice. Grab a bag, pack a lunch. You'll never know until you try. When you lose yourself, you find the key to paradise.
As you said, are you done recording fall? Are you calling it fall or are you calling it autumn?
We're calling it autumn.
You're calling it autumn. Okay.
We have just started doing the orchestral tracks for it. But now I take those away and also, I work. Yeah.
Is it going to also be four songs? Four songs.
Yep.
Okay. Good.
Yep.
And so we know what the four songs are, obviously, since we've started the orchestral tracks. Don't you know, I do give anything away.
No, but the if you ask me what's the headline, just like the French Riviera Jazz and then Unplugged Beach Summer Jazz, this is contemporary, and it's very reflective, you know, thinking of what's come to an end.
Okay.
And some of it is overtly about loss and grief, and some of it is not. I mean, it's not dark,
right,
but it's definitely, it's
passing.
Getting darker early.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It is time passing. Yes.
Okay.
for sure.
Interesting. And that, do we have a release date for that?
No, we have to figure that out. Then the more interesting one is, what is the release date for Winter? And we're actually going to pick Winter, the songs, next week. And then we have to look at them and see, does it make sense? You don't want to collide with the fall releases.
Yeah.
You don't want to collide with holiday releases. I don't think that those songs are going to be overtly holiday.
Yeah.
But I could be wrong. There might be something. And so do you want to do it? Do you want to release it in November? Do you want to release it in December? Depending on what you said, you could even release it in January. I don't know. But once we pick the songs, well, it'll be easier to figure that out.
Right. And once, okay, so here's the big question, because my brain has been working overtime on this. So once all four EPs are done,
yes,
is there a plan to release them as a CD all compiled together? Or is there, I mean, because in my little brain, I'm thinking, even though I know this is so cost prohibitive, so in my little brain, I'm thinking I would love, because I love the artwork that you have created. Because the whoever's doing your cover art is like that photographer and the photographer is Helene Blomfield. And
the designer is Stefan Bucher.
Gorgeous artwork. I mean, the photography, and you look fantastic, and the color choices.
It was a good day.
Wardrobe choices.
The stylist
was
Michael McGeehan, and he was,
perfect.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
And, I mean, so in my head, I'm like, I would love a little mini box set where each EP has its own sleeve. With, you know, there's four little discs in there, each with its own sleeve, so each one has the artwork on it, all in one, you know, little mini box, but each EP has its own sleeve. That's what I would love. But then you've got to press four CDs, so that's ridiculous.
Yeah, I'm not going to do that.
No, you're not going to do that. You know, that's my brain. Well, you never know if it becomes a multi-million-selling single, you could afford to do it.
Yes, if a music supervisor would please take one of these songs, do a sync license, pay for the whole project, then we can talk about it. But in my mind, it rolls up into an album, and we do have one final image if we want to do that. But it won't be what's caught your eye, which is, you know, a pink outfit on a pink background and then a blue outfit on a blue background. Although you could pull them all together into one, you know, four squares, and that could be the outfit. But it's busy. Yeah.
Or even if you have ultimately a final image that's the actual cover, then inside the booklet or whatever, you could have all four of the images placed throughout the booklet inside. To cover each section, because I'm assuming your sequence would still follow spring, summer, autumn, and winter.
Yeah, absolutely.
So the sequence would be right. So you could still have the four images.
Yeah, but I can't imagine pressing four CDs.
No, it would just be one CD.
Yeah.
Just be one CD.
Then we could always add in a couple of songs. I do have one. I do have a fifth pile.
Oh, dog. Really? Wow, what a shock. What an amazing shot.
I know. Have you met me?
I know, exactly. I was going to say, damn it. You're probably, in your mind, you're probably thinking, why can't there be a fifth season? Why can't there be five seasons?
Right.
Or maybe you'll do four seasons for next year, a whole other set of seasons. No.
No, I have other lists of other projects. I'm forever adding to project lists.
Well, you could do months. You could do 12 EPs next year.
Yeah, exactly.
There you go. One a month. Just what you need to do.
As I said, what was I thinking? It isn't less effort and less expense. It isn't four times as much, but it is awfully close.
But it's creatively challenging you.
Yes.
It's putting you together with new collaborator.
Yes.
Who's bringing out more sides to you than you knew, which is great. It's creating a project that is really noteworthy because it's beautiful work. I mean, your albums have gotten better and better and better every time you do a new album. And now you're doing something that's even, that's really stunning work. So that's really important. So you're also, and you're also continuing to perform this whole, I mean, this whole time. I mean, you were at 54 Below on May 4th, which was also live streamed. And I'm assuming you have some upcoming stuff.
This is kind of what's going to take me through the end of this year, frankly, unless somebody surprises me, because doing that 54 Below show in the middle of all of this was almost the straw that broke the camel's back. Mm-hmm. So I think I just want to enjoy the last two seasons and relax into them a little more. We've now got a rhythm to it. Everybody who does something on it, the videographer, everybody gets the concept now. But I will say, when I had the idea and everyone went, oh, what an interesting idea, I thought, boy, I don't understand why nobody has ever done anything like this before. I now understand.
Right. Well, I mean, most people, I think, would have the idea of like, oh, well, I'm going to do an album about, you know, seasons or whatever, and I'll just go into the studio and do like 12 tracks or whatever.
Right. But it would take a year.
Yeah.
You'll have to tell me what it's bringing out. We don't have to do that on this conversation, but I'll be curious.
I just think it's bringing out, I can tell you off mic, but it's just bringing out different sides to you. But it's also because your voice is maturing, your style is maturing, everything's changing, you know? Yeah. And I think that happens to all performers. You know, the more you perform, the more you record, you're learning more things about yourself, you're stretching. And I totally agree with you that working with new collaborators brings out totally different things with performers. And I always tell people that as well, that there's nothing wrong with working with people you're comfortable with and you get to know and have really good friendships with. But at the same time, you sometimes can get too comfortable with each other and get to know each other too well to the point where the challenges are no longer there. You're really comfortable and everything's so easy that it's like sitting in a big, comfortable chair.
Yeah.
And you just can sit in it and you feel really comfortable, whereas opposed to sitting in some modern weird chair that's not so comfortable, that forces you to change your position and forces you to move your body to a different position.
You have to keep your balance to sit in that chair.
And that, to me, is the difference. It's like it's a new collaborator. It forces you to shift your body a little bit and change your balance and change the way you sit and change your posture. And that's kind of the same thing. And it makes you different. And that comes through in how you sing. It comes through in how you pick your songs. It comes through in how the orchestrations are. And it just changes things.
I will tell you also that we're using a different microphone.
Oh, that is a change too. Absolutely.
Yeah. And when I heard it in the studio, I could not hear the difference. But when I heard it in first mixes sitting in my own room with my speakers, I went, oh, interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a microphone that didn't exist 10 years ago. So that evolves also, and using different engineers and everything, but always knowing that at the end it's going to go back to Scott for the final listen, and then it's going to go to Oscar for the mastering. So I feel like I have a safety net, and when you have a safety net and you know the physical studio and all of that, then you can take leaps because the same people are there to catch you. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yep. The same people are there to catch you. If you stumble, the same people are there to catch you and make it all right.
Yeah.
So anyway, Celia, it's been fantastic to talk to you, as always.
Thank you.
Congratulations on the first two EPs, Spring and Summer. Celia Burke is doing 4 seasons of Song. She's halfway through. She's got 2 more to go. And she will be back when Autumn and Winter have been released. I've told her we have to do the next ones when they're done. So we will do that. But again, fantastic work. I love the first two. They're so
coming from you,
good.
That really means a lot.
They're
Thank
so
you.
Good. And I will make sure to put a link to your website so people can find them and see them. And I always tell people, don't just stream them, purchase them, purchase downloads. It puts money in Celia's pocket. Streaming doesn't barely puts pennies in anybody's pocket.
Oh gosh, yeah.
and until Knee Deep becomes a gigantic hit and goes to number one
on the children's
playlist. Celia needs you to purchase a download. And EP and EPs are less expensive than a full album, so you know
that's right.
That's right. So you can afford to do this. And check out the fantastic cover artwork. Oh my god. The blue on that summer one.
Wow. I know.
Oh my god.
Well, wait till you see fall. Yeah, we've got fun god. Ones coming.
The blue of your top on that album.
Yeah.
Wow. Gorgeous. Absolutely gorgeous.
Thank you.
Yeah. Anyway, thank you again, Celia. It's always such a joy talking to you.